saying it is time to get up with Cam Newton, signs with New England. Does this make the Patriots once again the team to beat? We're all over it off the top. Then, Tampa Tom in trouble. Wait until you hear who's mad at Brady's Bucks for working out when they aren't supposed to. And then, here they come, bubble bound. Which of these stars is best positioned for a playoff push at Disney World? We've got all the answers as we get up with you, starting right now on a Monday from Bristol. Mike Greenberg here. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us and hope you had a terrific weekend. It was a weekend that, from a sports perspective, took a very significant turn right around dinner time last night. Here we go. Former MVP Cam Newton is officially off the free agent market after reaching an agreement with the Patriots on a one-year incentive-laden deal last night. Newton will join Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer in the Patriots quarterback room as the team looks to replace the legendary Tom Brady, and Cam himself posting as only he can last night. Excited as I don't know what right now. All praise to God. Dropping content tomorrow. I hope you're ready. Let's go, Pats. That was one piece of social media. I got this news from a different one, otherwise known as Shefty's Twitter feed. So, Shefty, here we go. How did this happen, Cam, to the Pats?
Green, I think there's a process here where Cam Newton comes to the realization that he's not going to be a $30 million a year quarterback the way that many people view him to be. Carolina released him a couple of weeks into free agency. Teams had filled up their starting jobs at that point in time. So he's not going to get the opportunity that he wants at that time. So it takes a little while to settle in. Okay, what is the best situation, being that I'm not going to get the type of contract that I want? And inevitably, I think him and the Patriots started talking a few weeks back, and there had been some steady contact throughout. And the fact of the matter is, there was not a lot of contact from other teams in the league. The one team that stayed in touch with him in recent weeks, that kept conversations going, was the New England Patriots. And when it gets to a point where you're talking about a contract that's going to pay him a couple of million dollars in base salary this year or so, and I don't know the exact figure, but it's not far from there, the Patriots figure, it makes sense. They're paying Brian Hoyer $1 million. You pay Cam Newton roughly a couple of million dollars. You have Jarrett Stidham on a rookie deal. And so you're getting three quarterbacks for, let's just say, a sum total of about $5 million or so when the Dallas Cowboys just signed Dak Prescott to a franchise tender of $31.4 million.
That's why Bill Belichick is in the Super Bowl all the time, and the Cowboys tend to be watching. Stay close, Shefty. I'm coming back to you in a minute. But let me show you something that Richard Sherman posted yesterday. He tweeted in response, how many former league MVPs have had to sign for the minimum asking for a friend? Just ridiculous. A transcendent talent and less talented quarterbacks are getting $15 and $16 million a year. Disgusting. Well, if you want to know why it happened, at least certainly one of the big reasons is injury. Newton got hurt a shoulder in November of 2018 on this hit from TJ Watt. He would undergo shoulder surgery following that season. He then appeared to suffer a foot injury in a preseason game against New England, of all teams, last year. He was eventually placed on season-ending IR, with his last game coming in week two last season. And including the playoffs, Cam has been contacted 1,318 times since he entered the league in 2011. That's 236 more plays than the next closest quarterback in that span. So if you want to know why a guy is available at that dollar figure at this point, that's the reason why. And here come the first of many who will have reaction this morning. Dominique and Tim Hasselbeck are with me here. And Tim, I'll give you the first comment here, because last week I asked you the question, what do you think should happen with Cam Newton? And you said New England. What do you think of the move?
Well, I think it makes perfect sense. I mean, it's basically the best fit for the player and best fit for the team. You know, part of my reasoning was, you look at Cam's production, it's been ridiculous. And so if he is healthy, he certainly would help the New England Patriots. And then from Cam's perspective, if you just look at what's happened because of the timing of free agency and how some of these quarterback situations have dried up, there's not a better spot than the New England Patriots for Cam. So it made too much sense not to happen. And so I think from that perspective, it ended up working out great. And because of New England's patience, they end up getting Cam at a really reasonable price.
No question. And Dominique, all the way back in March, you said on this show that you thought right around the time that Cam was released, you said New England was a place that made sense. Do you expect him to be their starting quarterback week one?
Absolutely. I think when you sign Cam Newton, you're not signing a player as much as you're signing an entire offense, is what he was for the Panthers down there. He was their whole offense. And I think there's a similar situation in New England right now where they don't have a bunch of big playmaking skill position guys, but you put Cam behind that offensive line with some smart coaching and a great defense, and all of a sudden you become a realistic Super Bowl contender when just yesterday I would have said that they weren't going to make the playoffs.
Let's say that again. Realistic Super Bowl contender. You think that's where the bar is set now in New England with Cam?
I mean, as long as Cam is healthy, and that's the caveat that's hanging around this. As long as Cam is healthy, I think he is talented enough to bring that offense to average or above average. And if that defense can repeat as one of the best in the league, yes, they are a realistic Super Bowl contender.
Tim, let's talk about the offense for a minute here, because when you consider Tom Brady and Cam Newton, you can't probably – I'm assuming most football fans are looking at that and saying no two quarterbacks could play the game more differently than those two guys do. So, Tim Hasselbeck, what should we expect this offense in New England with Belichick and Josh McDaniels running it to look like?
I think it'll look drastically different. I think there will be elements of the passing game that remain the same, and then the run game will basically look like New England's run game, except for it's that run game plus one, because now the quarterback's a ball carrier. I mean, that's what it'll look like. Dominique referenced a good offensive line. They have been tremendous at situationally running the football for over a decade. Now they have the ability to run the football, same scheme that they've been running the football with for years, but now they just have an extra player as a part of it because the quarterback's the ball carrier. So, look, Cam Newton has 58 career rushing touchdowns. I mean, it's ridiculous. So when you look at that, you're just going to end up seeing, look, from 2011 to 2018, he's got more rushing touchdowns than Marshawn Lynch. We're going to see New England run the football with their quarterback, as well as their backs, but they're going to run it with their quarterback now.
Shefty, let's talk
Go ahead, Shefty. Well, you know what's interesting about this is I remember in free agency, there were people around the league, smart people, coaches around the league, front office executives who said, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians don't see that match. And yet, we have a great coach and a great football player. You make it work. And there were people at the same time who, as much as Dominique and Tim said that this was the right fit, who said, I can't see Cam Newton and Bill Belichick uniting forces. But it made sense in the end for both people to do just that. The Patriots are getting a motivated Cam Newton who's playing on a one-year deal, and we know the Patriots are going to be motivated to show that they can be the franchise they've been without Tom Brady. Both sides get to unite forces at a time when there's a lot to prove for both sides.
No question. Nick, let me come back to you, though, on what is the big question with Cam. And we just ran through all of the hits and all of the injuries and the surgeries and all the rest of that. And at some point, that tends to add up. We've raised the question here on this show before. Was he hurt? Or was he diminished, which is to say, do you believe Cam can recapture, especially if they want to run the offense that Tim is talking about within running the ball that much, can he recapture MVP Super Bowl level Cam Newton?
I think Super Bowl is definitely realistic. I don't know about MVP level, but I don't think he needs to get to that level to be very good. I think that the Patriots are probably very excited about the opportunity to add a dynamic to their offense that most good teams have in their offense is a quarterback with some athleticism, and the Patriots haven't had that, I mean, for 20 years at least, except for a momentary time when Jimmy Garoppolo stepped in there or Brissett stepped in there. They had some athleticism. They could run some more complicated schemes. So I think that they are excited to add that, and as long as they can be smart when they use Cam to run and he can be smart about the hits that he takes, I think he can make it through the season, and they can be much better than I would have thought they were a week ago.
And you know what? There's a part of it. I have been calling for this for a while also, just because it made sense. And so many people said to me, Greeny, they're so invested in Jarrett Stidham. They believe so much in Jarrett Stidham. I feel so vindicated by this today. Shefty, let me ask you, however, because I do believe that they like Jarrett Stidham and that Belichick may believe that Stidham is the quarterback of his future. I don't know that, but I don't dispute it. Where does this leave Jarrett Stidham?
Well, it leaves him. They're going to go into camp, and they're going to say it's an open competition for the starting job. New England's not one to just hand out starting jobs before camp begins. So it'll be an open competition. But I think everybody recognizes that if Cam is healthy and he hasn't taken his physical yet for the Patriots, he hasn't signed the contract yet for the Patriots, but if he's healthy, he is the favorite to get that starting job. Hard to imagine he doesn't win it. Jarrett Stidham is a guy, again, they have on the rookie contract. So they got all these quarterbacks together. Together, they're not paying him very much. Why not take that chance on Cam? I think they view Stidham as part of their future, but they got Cam on a one-year deal right now, Greeny.
Go ahead, Nick. You look like you have something.
Yeah, no. I'm just surprised that we are, I mean, I'm excited about moving forward to projecting, but I'm surprised that we haven't discussed why Cam didn't end up other places, because I understand that this seems like a smart choice, and New England has built up a lot of goodwill amongst most players in the league where you think New England will take care of you. But for a couple million dollars, 31 other teams in the league should have been offering Cam Newton a job, even if it's just for a backup. So I'm shocked that Bill Belichick finds himself in this lucky situation once again to grab one of these veteran guys late into their career.
And Nick, Cam didn't have interest elsewhere. That's why, period.
I don't think they knew. Maybe the other teams didn't know what Cam was willing to play for, because there's no way that these other teams wouldn't be realistically considering Cam Newton at this point.
Maybe it's a situation where he looked at it and said, I can go there and play. There aren't too many places. Nick, you're talking about being a backup. It's one thing to take money and sit. It's another thing to take less money and Tim Hasselbeck be able to prove I'm still Cam Newton and next year get that $30 million contract he wants.
Yeah, where's the landing spot? That ends up being the problem. Where's the landing spot? Look at all these teams that maybe have unproven second-year quarterbacks. New England was certainly one of them. You can look at the Broncos. The Broncos aren't interested in that. They kind of believe in Drew Lock. You look at what happened in Jacksonville with somebody like Minshew. I think they felt like there was enough promise, and you have a promising young quarterback on a rookie deal. Where is that situation where Cam knows, hey, wait a second, I'm not competing with a former first rounder to be the starter. I'm going in competing with a late fourth rounder to be the starting quarterback. That's it was really kind of the last available chair.
Right. We've been saying all along, it made sense for New England, it made sense for Cam, and now here they are. They're together. Guys, sit tight, because there's another piece. A busy day in Patriot land yesterday. The NFL handed down its punishment for the Patriots TV crew filming the Bengals sideline during a December 8th game between the Bengals and Browns last year. According to an NFL spokesman, New England will be fined over $1 million and lose a third-round pick in the 2021 draft. In addition, the Patriots TV production crews will not be allowed to shoot any games during this coming season. A Patriots spokesperson confirmed the team will not contest the penalties. Adam Schefter, what more can you tell us?
Look, this is a situation, Greeny, where the New England Patriots admitted that something happened that shouldn't have. And while the football side of operations didn't know about it, and it was a completely separate group, in this particular case, there also was a history. And I think the NFL was put into a situation where when everybody sees that something went wrong, and there's a team there with a history, the league has no choice but to step in and issue some sort of penalties. And in this particular case, the league determined that a third-round pick was fair penalty and a $1.1 million fine. Now, interestingly enough, they get a third-round compensatory draft pick next offseason, probably for the loss of Tom Brady to Tampa. Makes up there. They could get a compensatory draft pick back for Cam Newton if they don't re-sign him and he goes on elsewhere. But that's on another note. The fact of the matter is the league felt like the evidence was right there and it had to send a message to a team that it had disciplined in this area before.
It's a very busy day. Again, we have much more on all of this as we continue. Shefty, we're just getting started. Also on the way, TB12 already making waves in Tampa. Why is the head of the NFLPA mad at Tom Brady and the Bucks? You'll hear why as we continue. And then speaking of the Bucks, these Bucks have the best record in the NBA when play stopped. So why does Kendrick Perkins say they're not the favorites in the East? You'll hear it from him. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Get Up is brought to you by Expedition Everest. Join us on Top of the World Tuesday at 10 on National Geographic. All right, let's get up and go. Take you around a busy weekend in sports. Final round of the Travelers Championship down the road from us in Cromwell. Now, you're not mistaken. That is Dustin Johnson taking off his shoes and socks after a shot that he hit that left his ball on the grass, but his feet in the water. He would actually make par on that hole because that's what professional golfers do. And then He would take a one-shot lead to 18 and tap in this par for a win, his 21st career win on tour. He's won at least one event now in 13 straight years. In other news, Mississippi lawmakers voted yesterday to retire the Confederate battle emblem from its state flag, following widespread pressure from athletes such as Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill and coaches like Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin. Hill tweeted Sunday night, "Big salute to every university in this state that helped." To the NBA. The NBA and the players are collaborating to allow players to wear jerseys with personalized messages about social justice on the back in place of last names when the league restarts in Orlando at the end of July. Speaking of which, the NBA did release the schedule for the Orlando restart and headlining the opening night doubleheader July 30th, the two best teams in the West, Lakers, Clippers. Adam Silver was on a conference call Friday night talking about his confidence in the Orlando bubble while coronavirus cases surge.
My ultimate conclusion is that we can't outrun the virus and that this is what we're going to be living with for the foreseeable future, which is why we designed the campus the way we did. And so it's a closed network, and that while it's not impermeable, we are in essence, protected from cases around us. At least that's the model. For those reasons, we're still very comfortable being in Orlando.
All right, and we're going to get into it here. Jay Will and Big Perk are with us. And Kendrick, I'm coming to you first here because I saw it in your notes. What do you make of the way Adam Silver and the players have put this whole thing together?
Well, here it is, Greeny. In my 17 years of being affiliated with the NBA, I've never seen the NBA and the commissioner go hand in hand with the Players Association and like they did during this pandemic. And it's a beautiful thing to see. I think they did a great job with not only bringing back the NBA season and working hand in hand, but also making sure that they continue to bring awareness to the Black Lives Movement and everything that's going on in America. And a great job done by Adam Silver, Michelle Roberts, and Chris Paul, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's just to show you, when you act like a partnership, then the things that you can get done together. And, Jay Will, we just talked a little bit about the jerseys that will have messages on the back. What do you think of that idea?
You know, Greeny, I like the idea overall, but at the same time, you know, some of the NBA, just to play devil's advocate against it for a second, hear me out on this. And, Perk, I'm curious to get your opinion. So, you know, some of the NBA names and players have some of the most recognizable faces there is in the planet. In the world. And so it's not natural for people always to look at the names on the back of their jerseys. When you see Giannis run down the floor, you know that's Giannis. When you see LeBron, you know that's LeBron, James Harden. So I like the idea of changing some of the names on the back of jerseys to a degree, but can you take it potentially a step further? You know, can you call a player that person's name? Can, you know, over to PA announcement when they score a bucket? Are there other ways to bring way more attention than just having their name on the back of a jersey that a lot of times fans may not pay attention to because you get lost in the back and forth of the game and you know the face. So maybe taking it to another degree, having somebody over the PA, over the announcement, refer to that person as Rayshard Brooks or Ahmaud Arbery to actually give more specification about why they're doing it and what it's for. Just a thought.
An interesting idea. We'll see what they wind up doing. Meanwhile, Perk, let's go on the floor here. What was your biggest takeaway from the NBA schedule being released over the weekend?
Well, you know, I was watching a team that everyone is overlooking except for my brother Jay Will, and that's the Houston Rockets, Greeny. They're currently sitting at the number 6 seed in the Western Conference, and they could possibly fall to the 7th, or they could move as high as to the 3rd spot. And I think they're going to get that 3rd spot. When you look at James Harden, who we used to looking at during the offseason, he usually be kicking it with Lil Baby and Lil Wayne. No, James Harden was working out. He dropped 20 pounds, so he sent a message. I'm looking at Russell Westbrook. He doing sand workouts and working out on the beach, and a guy who gets out to the bed and has an engine. And they number one in pace. So what that tells me, Greeny, is that they have it on their mind and that they're going to hit the ground running. And I'm listening to Daryl Morey talk, and he's making statements saying, hey, with Russell Westbrook and James Harden, I feel like we could win the championship. And guess what? I believe him. Because right before the pandemic, the Rockets was playing inspiring basketball. They switched up the style, and they took out the center, and they are playing at a they're going to be playing at a fast pace. And I don't believe teams will be able to keep up with them.
Jay, it feels like a lifetime ago that you and I were having these conversations about small ball and all the things the Rockets were doing. But you loved them then. Do you love them now, looking ahead to next month?
I do. Greeny, you were hating on me about the Houston Rockets. You said there was no way they were going to figure it out. Does my memory serve me correctly on that one?
I don't think so. I don't think I was hating on anything. I was merely suggesting that this was a team that we have said like six different things about over the course of one season. Now, again, that season feels like I was a much younger man when we were having these conversations. Bottom line of it is this. If it's not going to be the Lakers or Clippers, Houston is the team you like. Jay Williams.
I do, because I think their style of play really throws people off. And let's remember, guys, this is not home or away. I think this style of basketball is going to be more similar to pickup style basketball. And as long as that guys like P.J. Tucker are finally healthy, you talk about Eric Gordon, like, can he be healthy and can he play? I think those matchups are a matchup nightmare. And I will say this to you too, Perk, and I know that you probably have the Lakers to win the whole thing, but if I'm Houston, I am trying to mirror and be in that bracket with the Lakers. So the Lakers number one want to see, like, I'm trying to be in that 4 or 5 range so I can be partnered with them, because I think that is the matchup they want to see in the Western Conference semifinals. I don't think they want to see the Clippers into the finals because of their wings and the way they can match up. But a bigger Laker team where you can involve them in a ton of PNR, and James Harden and Russell Westbrook could get hot, that could be the matchup that you're looking for if you're the Rockets.
I can't wait until we're actually watching that. I'm going to leave it here for the moment, guys, because I got this Cam Newton news, but we will have plenty of time to talk hoops with you guys as we go forward. But we're coming back to Cam next. Superman lands in New England. How'd the deal get done? What does he bring to the offense? We'll go live to Foxborough in just a moment. And it is time for a little sneaky hembo. Neek is on the clock, and here's the question. Who is the only active quarterback to win a playoff game for an AFC team and an NFC team? That's a great question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself, too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
Tim, what makes sense to you as far as Cam's next move?
I've been saying it. I think it's the New England Patriots.
They don't like the idea of Cam Newton going there, because I think Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels understand the way the direction the quarterback position is going.
The Patriots are going to get him for nothing, and then they're going to be good, and it's going to be awful.
A chance to go to New England, I think, makes the most sense.
We've been saying it for weeks, in fact, months, and it turns out we were right. Cam Newton is a Patriot. Neek, here's the question. As Cam comes and tries to win a playoff game, we assume, for New England, who is the only active quarterback to win a playoff game for an AFC team and an NFC team?
First of all, I want to appreciate the order that you put those in. I believe I was the first to say it, March 29th, to be correct. But I'm going to say there aren't a lot of good quarterbacks that played on both sides, but Drew Brees comes to mind. He's playing in San Diego and then won a ton of playoff games with the Saints. Is it Drew Brees?
It is not. The answer is
Alex Smith.
Alex Smith won one for the 49ers and for the Chiefs. And let the record show, sitting here trying to guess it over the course of myself, I actually got this one right. Hembo tells us Brees went 0-1 in the playoffs for the Chargers. By the way, what do you think the Patriot fans are saying about this signing? Here they were on EEI radio in Boston last night.
Christmas came early. I love it. Cam Newton, he came to New England. We're going to the Super Bowl.
This is pretty typical. Pacino said in Godfather 3, every time I take a step back, they pull me back in.
It's already going to be an interesting season, right? Because I'm personally, as a Pats fan, I'm kind of tired of 13-3 or 14-2 for the past 20 years. So it's going to be interesting anyway.
Superman has landed in Patriot Nation. I will tell you this, Sean. Bill Belichick is a master. He's like Jesus.
I'm sorry. That one took me by surprise. Here's Mike Reese, our Patriots reporter. Mike, what?
Greeny, when the news broke, you were the first person I thought of because all offseason you've been selling different free agent quarterbacks. What about this guy for the Patriots? What about this guy? You liked Cam coming to the Patriots and they finally listened to you. And, you know, when I look at it, Greeny, you know, what led them to this? You know, this was a situation where they had some limited finances to work with. And Bill Belichick is on record in May saying we have four quarterbacks that, you know, we like. But you never know what happens down the road. And so the finance is a factor, and really it's what Cam's willing to do as a factor. The fact he's willing to play on this type of contract is a huge part of making this happen.
Who's their starting quarterback week one?
Well, I think you have to put Cam at the top of the list based on his body of work. That being said, you know, Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer have more experience in this system, so you balance those two factors. But based on the body of work, I think you have to put Cam right now at the top of the list.
Well, system is a fascinating choice of words here because there's the system that we've seen New England run for 20 years with Tom Brady and have more success than any team has ever had with any player. Cam Newton couldn't be more different from Tom Brady in the way he plays the game. So what do we expect that offense to look like with Cam?
Yeah, you don't call many quarterback-designed runs with Tom Brady under center unless it's those quarterback sneaks that he was so adept at running. So assuming good health and good system and culture fit for Cam Newton, it puts that running quarterback dynamic in play for the Patriots. And really, you can't talk about this, Greeny, without mentioning Josh McDaniels and sort of the breadth of this offense. It's 20 years that they've been running this offense, and they can really morph and tailor their attack to the strengths of their personnel. Go back to Jacoby Brissett, 2016. He had a 27-yard rushing touchdown. That puts that whole aspect into play for the Patriots now.
Yeah, there is a chameleon-like element to what New England has been doing under Belichick forever, and it will be fascinating to watch. Mike Reese, outstanding, and obviously we'll be coming to you regularly here. This becomes one of the great stories in the sport. The NFL world, meanwhile, was reacting, as you would think, last night on Twitter. Odell tweeting, Cam Newton, you've been working, you deserve that. Jamal Adams tweeting, I salute Coach Bill Belichick for that. I'm not going to lie to you, that doesn't sit so well with me. And the McCourty twins simply posting two sets of eyes emojis. So we have all of that. Dan Orlovsky, meanwhile, on SportsCenter saying he thinks the Patriots are now contenders again.
Oh, the Pats are definitely now in the playoff picture. I was one of those people who did not see New England as a playoff football team this coming season just because the questions at the quarterback position and the lack of talent at the skill positions. But now, if Cam Newton's healthy, this totally rewrites and changes the storyline for the AFC in the playoffs this season because this now puts New England right back in the mix to be the AFC East winner division-wise and certainly one of the two, three, four best teams in the AFC in totality.
Now, Vegas agrees. This is from Caesars. They move New England's odds from 25 to 1 to 20 to 1 to win it all, from 10 to 1 to 9 to 1 to win the conference. Even with this adjustment, these are the longest odds New England has had to win the title entering a season since 2002. So it's been a while, but they're still a lot better than they were. So now let's get back to some conversation here. I'm bringing it to Crew. Dominique is with me, and Mike Tannenbaum jumps in here. Mr. T, let's get your thoughts on this. We were talking this morning in our meeting about how you envision this thing looking with Cam Newton, and it should be fascinating to watch what Belichick does there in New England.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer for both sides. And we could go back to 2018 with Cam Newton and North Turner in Carolina. In their first eight games in that offense, Cam Newton had 19 touchdowns and only four interceptions. And Greeny, I've said it before, the New England Patriot running back room is the best room of any position group in the NFL. So you bring in what Cam Newton can do with his arms and his legs and the James White and the Sony Michels, all those backs can catch. This becomes a much more problematic offense to defend, and I think it makes them the immediate favorite in the AFC East.
Now, you also made a point this morning that I thought was important, that Belichick tends to like going out and getting players that he had trouble playing against.
Yeah, and you look at what Cam Newton's done against Bill Belichick. He's 2-0, 631 yards, 7 touchdowns. And if you go over the years, Wes Welker had a huge game for the Miami Dolphins. What does Coach Belichick do? He immediately signs him. And these sort of offenses have given Coach Belichick a lot of trouble. So, again, this is going to be a different offense, a more diverse offense. And for the weapons outside, guys like Mohamed Sanu, N'Keal Harry, when they get singled up because now defenses have to account for Cam Newton in the running game, it's going to make those receivers a lot better. And now this offense looks dramatically different than it did 24 hours ago.
You know, Nick, it's interesting to me. Belichick at his heart, for all of the greatness of Tom Brady and his soul, he's still a defense guy. He was a defensive coach forever. And I've picked this up talking to Rex as much as I have. Those guys hate, defensive coaches hate coaching against quarterbacks that can beat you with their legs. At the end of the day, that's what keeps these guys up at night.
Yeah, because it limits what you're able to do, and there is no perfect scheme to stop it. If you go in a zone and an athletic quarterback scrambles, zone turns into man, and then you end up with a linebacker stuck on a receiver. You try to play man and everyone turns their back to him, the guy can run and break off 20, 30-yard runs. And if you try to spy him, then you're taking a guy out of your rush. You're hesitant to blitz that guy because he breaks a tackle. It's a big play. It is a headache for defenses to go up against this type of guy. So I know that Bill Belichick, as much as they've appreciated Tom Brady, I have to imagine they're excited about the opportunity to do something different and attack defenses the way that the Ravens kind of attacked them last year. And the Ravens took over with a great defense and an impressive running attack that's built on the ability of the quarterback to run.
Yeah, so Dominique, we are going to sit here and being prisoners of this moment and say, oh, the Patriots are going to be this, they're going to be that. When we get to calm down a little bit, they're the team to beat in the AFC East. What else are they in a conference that has Baltimore, Kansas right. City, and others in it? What else are the Patriots right now?
They are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They aren't better than the Baltimore or Kansas City right now. But as we know, the playoffs is a one-game sample. Tennessee wasn't better than Baltimore either. But they could get in the playoffs and win. I think they are good enough with the experience that they have, that coaching staff. And overall, this decision was great for them because it was low risk, just about no risk, and all reward. They're paying Cam Newton about the same amount of money that they're paying for a fine as far as base salary is concerned for their fine for their Spygate Part 2. This was an ingenious move. I don't think there's anything for them to lose right now.
No question. And then, Mike T, there's the Josh McDaniels factor in this as well that you brought up this morning, and a comparison as to what we might expect this offense to look like.
Yeah, so if we go back to 2010, Josh McDaniels is the head coach of the Denver Broncos. They draft Tim Tebow in the first round, and that offense certainly sputtered, but there were flashes when Tim Tebow played well, made a couple of big passes against the Steelers in a playoff game. But again, it's that whole run-pass option that Dominique just was alluding to that's so hard to defend. So now I think we're going to see a lot of elements of Josh McDaniels, the current offensive coordinator of the Patriots, bring a lot of those concepts forward. And now those three defensive coordinators in the AFC East, they have to scrap what they did this offseason. They have to go back to what North Turner did in 2018 with the Panthers. They have to go back to 2010 and 2011 with the Denver Broncos. And now all of a sudden on opening day when the Miami Dolphins come into Foxborough, they may have no idea what Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels have in store with Cam Newton.
It sets up for a very interesting scenario. And by the way, for those of you who are wondering how you get to be a success in life, I just want to give you an idea of how Mike Tannenbaum prepares for a show. While we were doing the first segment of the show this morning, look at the smoothie. That Mike, what? What is that?
What is going on?
Mike? What is that?
That's my superpower. You know, I got to get ready here, you know? So that's what gets it done here.
Well, I don't know what's in that. Mike comes in with a lot of energy. I think we need to get a test over there, figure out what he's putting in his body. I'm not sure. It's purple. Shouldn't be drinking anything purple. And why? You don't got cups, Mike? Look at all that money. I can see the money dripping off of the wood panel on the back. You can't afford a cup? Please, Mike.
Those are blueberries.
All right. Man. We have a very busy day coming up here. Mike is just, you know, he's settling in with an entire container of smoothie because he's got a lot to watch today. After we wrap up, we got First Take and then SportsCenter, NFL Live, and The Jump. Look at the rundown there. Jalen Jacoby, highly questionable around the horn. SportsCenter this evening with the PTI guys and wrap it all up with Scott Van Pelt tonight. And SportsCenter, busy day here on ESPN. Busy morning with us on Get Up. Stop working out. That is the message to Tom Brady and Russell Wilson and others. And in case you're wondering, it actually sort of makes sense why, and you'll hear in just a moment. And there he is. Look at Tannenbaum. He's finished almost all of that. Save some for the kids, for crying out loud. I'll be right back.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
If you were just joining us on Get Up, the big news. Former NFL MVP Cam Newton finally off the free agent market, reaching an agreement with the Patriots on a one-year incentive-laden deal last night. And Stephen A. Smith was fired up on Twitter when he heard the news.
Okay, Cam. I see you. Willing to go to New England, succeed, to be the successor to Tom Brady? Oh, my goodness. I like it. Can New England win the Super Bowl again? Can they do it again? I don't know, Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, Deshaun Watson. I don't know, Lamar Jackson. I don't know. But I love it. Cam! I hear you, bro.
We will have Stephen A. live here in about 15 minutes. Meanwhile, Cam was 2-0 in his career against Belichick's Patriots, one of two starting quarterbacks who started multiple games against Belichick's Pats without losing. The other, by the way, is Jake Plummer. As for the Patriots, listen to what Bill Belichick said talking about Cam Newton. This was 3 years ago.
I think when you're talking about mobile quarterbacks, guys that are tough to handle, tackle, can throw, run, make good decisions, can be in a lot of, I would put.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.